Okay, we're about to begin a new sugya, a very lumdish sugya. Sugya is going to take us way out of just the sugyas of Maseches Tumos for a little while, as could be the Arkana B'Kodesh. But this is hopefully a major Yisodis Tikkun topic that comes up, touches on many Yisodis Tikkun topics, comes up in Tosafos Ksubos Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. So just to chazer for a second, to get a perspective where we're coming from in terms of the sugya, we had a mission. The mission told us about a person who was Baal a Kusis. So Baal HaSa Kusis and the Baal HaSa Sin, all the different women who are listed in the Mishnah who are entitled to Kenas. And the Chiddush of all these women is that even though you shouldn't be marrying them, you're not supposed to marry them, and I would have thought, therefore there's no Kenas, Kamash Balon, Afal B'Chein, this Tana holds that there is a Kenas. So one of the women on the list is the Baal HaSa Kusis. So we had a Machlaikis, a little Chazar, Chazar Rashi and Taisus. Rashi said she's basically not Jewish, whatever in the world that meant. Either really not Jewish or quasi not Jewish or something not Jewish, something or other. And Taisa said, nah, that's not the Poshup Shad. The Poshup Shad is she's Jewish. The Mishnah is assuming that's Gary Emesain. And if she would not be Jewish, then there would be nothing to discuss, Taisa says. And the primary raya that Taisa had, that there would be nothing to discuss if she's not Jewish, is the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi says, the Feirish, maybe, that if you ball a Shivcha, so there's no Knas because it's not Marley Morello Isha, you can't marry her, she's Ainla Kadush Neitz Lacherim, etc. So therefore, Taisa said, based on that Yerushalmi and other rayas, it's inconceivable we're talking about somebody who is not really full-fledged Jewish. In this context, Taisa now raises the following problem. Taisa says that there's another piece of information that we have to have about Kusim that's going to shed some light on the existence, a lack thereof, of a knas for the bolus of Kusis. That's the Gemara in the end of Masechet Kedushin. At the end of the day, the Gemara in Kedushin says, you're not supposed to be marrying a Kusis. Why not? If you hold the Geri Emes, why can't you marry them? So the Gemara has a whole series of different possibilities. What's wrong with them? There's some kind of psul yichol, something mixed up, something going wrong in the Kusi's lineage. So you shouldn't be marrying them, even if they're full-fledged Jews. And one opinion of the Gemara is, the reason why you can't marry a Kusis is because as a chashash that she's a shivcha. Shivcha, how'd that happen? So somewhere, somehow, maybe some shvachos got mixed into the lineage, into the genealogy of the Kusis. And any given Kusi girl in front of you, even though she's probably not a shivcha, there's a chance that she's a shivcha, and therefore midrabbanan, you're not supposed to marry into this kusi family. It's a chashash and it's a shivcha. So Taisus picks on that day in the Gemara and makes a whole shikvah out of that day in the Gemara. So Taisus begins from that nakuda with the following kasha. So Taisam chavtesam and aleph ala kusis. Vim toimer. It's about halfway through the Taisus. First word in line is emes. Was the end of the line. Vim timer. Laman the yamer perak asar yuchsin. The psul kusi mishum the eved v'shivcha nitmu behen. Amay yesh lo knas. Name Allah. Aisi raya delav shivchaat. Ushkili. L'shmul diom enochem mamanach ha'arayv. So Taisus formulates the question based as follows. There is the Yadua Mefursam, a very, very famous machlokes Rabban Shmuel that appears in the beginning of the third parak of the Kama, appears in the sixth parak of the Basra. Whether holchim b'mamanach harov or ain holchim b'mamanach harov. Namely, we know there's a principle of rov in halacha. We use rov all the time. To give the classic example of rov, who's going to give me the classic example of rov? 10 stores, right? Teisha Chanuyos, 10 stores selling kosher food in town. One store selling trefa food. I find a piece of meat on the floor. There's a din min haTorah. I can eat that piece of meat. There's a 10% chance. Well, let's say 9 stores, 10, whatever it is. 10% chance that it's trefa. It doesn't matter. You follow Rav. How do you know you follow Rav? If you state in the Torah that you follow Rav, what's the Machor? How do you know you follow Rav? Achiram Mahatas. It says in the parsha of Beis Din, Achiram Mahatas, when you have three Dayanim, two Dayanim say Chai, one Dayan says Potter, Zeman Fendo, you see that you follow Rav. So comes the Gemara and says, now there's a principle of Rav, but Yisurim for sure there's a principle of Rav. Nobody argues that. Come Rav and Shmuel and have a Machloikis in Baba Kam and Baba Basra, whether you also follow Rav by Dinim Mamanas. I have a Shail and Dinim Mamanas. I'm not sure where the Reuven owes the money to Shimon, but the Rove indicates that Reuven probably does owe the money. Bezin's looking at the case, there's a 90% chance that Reuven owes the money. So comes Rav and says, good, if you follow Rove in the realm of Dini Yisavahet there, so you could follow Rove in the realm of Dini Mamanus also. And comes Shmuel and says, no. Comes Shmuel and says, Ki as lina basaruba bi isura. Above a minor loy, when it comes to Mamanus, you don't follow Rove. And what do you follow? If you don't follow Rav, so what do you? What halachic principle do you apply? I have a din Torah between Reuven and Shimon. The odds are Reuven probably owes Shimon the money, but ein ochem amach harav. What principle do you follow? Hamotzach of Araya. Mochzak, you follow Hamotzach of Araya, and therefore Reuven does not have to pay the money. Good. That's machlekes Rav and Shmuel. So comes Taisvis and starts to make the following cheshbon. According to Shmuel, a person was just boil akusis. So you're sitting in the Hardor now, you're sitting in Shmuel's Beis Din, and you try to be down in the Shiloh. So Reuben was just caught to aid him, found him. He was just ma'anes akusis. So the kusis is taking him to a dentira. The kusis father, someone's taking him to a dentira and saying, you owe me 50 shkolim for being ma'anes me. The guy's a real lamdan. He says, really? I owe you what? Me? I owe you what? It's not so posh. And I said, how do you know, says this guy, the ma'anes, how do you know that you're a type of a girl who's entitled to knas? Maybe you're a shivcha, because after all, I'm a very big lamdan. Not such a nice guy, but I'm a big lamdan. I learned the end of Masechus Kiddushin. But the Gemara says that there's a chance, albeit a minority chance, that maybe there are avadim and shvachas who are mixed into the families of kusim. So it could be that this Miss Kusis, right in front of us, right over here, she may be the unlucky one. She may be the one with the tainted yichus. That we have no way of knowing this. The Gemara says we have nobody knows who's who. But the only thing that we do know is that there are some shvachos mixed in there, albeit not a robe, albeit a miut. But this is Shmuel's Beis Din talking, and according to Shmuel, Enochem Mamrach, all right, so you want to be Meitzi Mamon from me, you want me to pay the Knas, I'll turn around and say, Ich bin de Muchsuk, Hamotzi Chavela V'raya, you only have a Reiv that you are not a Shivcha, and Al-Atzadi you're a Shivcha, this is Taisa speaking. Taisa says, if you're a Shivcha, you're not going to get any Knas out of me, because Yushalmi, Mohim Ren Elisha, according to Taisa, if you're a Shivcha, you're for sure not entitled to a Knas. So that's the Din Torah that's now playing out. Do you have any markers here? No? Hey, there you go, okay. It's amazing, right? Even on Sunday of Labor Day, we can come to the markets. Okay. So here's the tainas we got over here. So we have Reuven. We need a good name for a Kusis girl. Any good name? You know any Kusim? No? What should we call her? Shomrona, okay? That's a good name, right? Oh, Griza. Hi, Griza. Oh, Shomrona. All right? So here we have Reuven is Ma'anis Shomrona. And she's turning around and saying, give me 50 shkolim. So Reuven turns around and says, really? He says, there's a miut that you're a shivcha. And since there's a miut that you're a shivcha, so ain't no mamracha roiv. So that's the kash of Tosis. Again, Tosis is putting a lot of pieces of this puzzle together. Tosis is combining the fact that there's no knas for shivcha, which is Tosis l'shitasa, who accepted the Yerushalmi, unlike Rashi. Tosis is putting this together with Shmuel Shita, putting all the puzzle of the pieces together. So Tosis say, pull the pieces of the puzzle together, that is. So comes Tosis and says, we have a good kasha. How come the Mishnah say it there's a knas? As I state in Tosis. So Rabbi say, if you were writing this Tosis, you would have like rested on your laurels and you would have said, this is a good kasha, right? Man, Asha's a pretty good kasha, right? It's a solid kasha. I wouldn't have had to make the kasha any better. But Taisus had more to say. Taisus said, if you're already coming to Shia Labor Day weekend, we're going to make it more juicy for you. We're going to make the kasha even better than the kasha sounds. Taisus says, I don't want to ask this kasha only according to Shmuel. I don't want some guy in the back here to say, come on, Rabbi, we don't pass like Shmuel and move on, which we happen to pass like Shmuel. We want to make this kasha really, really juicy, really geschmack. We want to cause Rav Tzaros also with this kasha. So Taisus turns around and ups the kasha. Taisus says, don't hide behind Rav and say, well, like Rav. No. Even according to Rav, there's going to be a problem over here. Even according to Rav, Reuven's going to have a shtar katayna not to have to pay this knas. What's the shtar katayna according to Rav? So Taisus makes the kasha better. So comes Taisus and continues. So Taisus the kasha could spend a month just understanding all the terms that Tosis just threw out in one half a line. Comes Tosis and says, here's the kasha even according to Rav. But we need a little bit of a background. If you remember back to what we were drawing before, we had 10 stores, right? We have a block. What's the name of the street? What should we call it? What? West Angle? What should we call it? Cedar Lane? What should we call it? Who is from? Main Street. Who's from Kew Gardens Hills? We call it Central Avenue. Five towns. Come on. Elizabeth, I don't know, Elizabeth, no, not of stores, okay, whatever it is, fine. So we'll call it, only because I know the names of the stores, so we'll call it, quick, West Englewood or Cedar Lane, which one? Cedar Lane, okay. Cedar Lane, okay. All right, so we need some good Bikia, Sylvia, all right? So what stores do we have on Cedar Lane? And I know West Englewood, so we better change the, close it all, okay. I'm not mentioning a certain store, so don't even get me started. West Englewood. Okay. Run right there. So I need a couple of good stores, right? We'll stick to the meat stores, all right? So what do we got over here? We got Chickies. Okay. Now what else we got next to it? We got Doug's down the block. All right. What do we got next to Chickies? No? Chopsticks. Okay. What else we got over here? We got on the corner, we got Nobo, right? Okay, what do we got over here? No, we got Rebecca's is Milk is a Pleasure, what is it? Etc. over here, right? Steak Etc. down over here, okay? The teenage fellows won't answer the question on that one. Okay, so we have multiple different stores over here. And now we have a piece of meat that's found over here. Okay. Oh, we have to have a tray for store, right? We need a good tray for one. So give me a good tray for one. Mexicali, what do they sell food there? What do they do there? I don't know. Mexicali. What? Where do you want to put Bumblebee? What do you want to put there? I need a good a tray for a place. Good Mexicali over here. Okay. This, Mexicali. All right. I find a piece of meat here. I got 9 out of the stores are kosher. One is treif, so the Gemara of the didn't they rice your hatas, you can eat the meat and find no problem. But what if that's not the case? What if it's not that I was spaziering down West Englewood and I found a piece of meat, but the following happened. I was walking down West Englewood and I was really, really a rangatun in my learning. I was learning through the sugya of Rove, of Knas, Bol Shivcha, Bol Nasin, etc. And I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. My wife sent me in to go pick up some food. And I walk into one of the stores and I'm not paying attention. Am I in Chopsticks? Am I in Chickies? Am I in Mexicali's? I don't know where I am. And I order out the food, take out the bag. I didn't bother getting a receipt. I have no marking. All of a sudden, I walk into the street. And I realize, wait a second. I don't know where I bought this food. Did I buy it in a kosher store? Did I buy it in a treifa store? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, it's the same rife. It's the difference. The same 90% chance that the meat is kosher. Comes the Gemara and says, no, this is a totally different type of a safek. This is what's called in halacha, kavua. Kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. What in the world do those words mean? Don't think you're going to get me to translate it. But what it means is as follows. Kol kavua, the iser is still b'mekaymai. Namely, the issa wasn't perish b'mekaymai. The latest asofik didn't come to me. I went to the latest asofik. In the first case, I found the meat. The meat had already separated from the mokam ha'issa, from the mokam ha'heter. It was perish, it's an elephant. I know that's called roi. When the issa, the heter, wasn't perish, but rather I went to the mokam ha'kviyas, the issa was nimtzim kavu b'mekaymai. So all of a sudden, the rove breaks down. Why does that happen? So the answer is, this is Sisrei Torah. Why it happens? Exeris HaKosov, the Gemara Zaf, Psukim, Zadrash, Allah HaMashah Sinai. There's such a principle called Kavua, Kemechza, Mechza Dami. Don't try to figure it out based on statistics. You'll never figure it out. It's nothing to do with math. It's a halachic principle called Kavua, Kemechza, Mechza Dami. So every time you want to invoke the principle of rove, you have to ask yourself, is the Chaticha Shal Isser coming to you, or are you going to the quote-unquote Chaticha Shal Isser? If it's coming to you, then you're home free. If you're going to it, then you have a problem. So comes Tosfos and formulates the kasha as follows. Comes Tosfos and says, if you think about it for a minute, Shomrona, this girl over here, is sitting b'makobo. She's in her home. She's sitting where she is. And Reuven is coming to be ma'anes har. Now Shomrona is living in a place where there are a lot of girls, a lot of kusi girls around. Some of those kusi girls are quote-unquote treif. Some of them are shvachos. I'm not talking about treif. I'm talking about some of them have the halacha category of shvachos. We don't know which is which. We don't know whether Shomrona is a shivcha. We don't know whether she's a regular Bas Yisrael. We don't know what exactly her lineage is. We know she's from the Kusi family, but again, this is all assuming Kusi Geri Emes. That's the whole sugya according to Tosfos. If it's not, then the sugya doesn't start. So according to Tosfos, everybody's Geri Emes, but within the Geri Emes, there are a couple of shvachos floating around. So Taisa says, when Reuven is Mazana with Shomrona, she wasn't Pirish b'mekoma. She was like the halachic status of Kavua b'mekoma. When Shomrona comes to Reuven and she asks him, I demanding that you pay me the 50 shkolim for being honest with me, he can turn around and say to her, you're not from the miut of the shvachos. He has an even starker time, even better time. He could say, you're a 50-50 chance whether you're a shivcha or not. Since there are some shvachos floating around in your location, I don't know whether you are a shivcha. Nobody knows whether you're a shivcha or not. So we treat it like a suf, like a shokel. It's not a 90-10, it's a 50-50. If it's 50-50, so even according to Rav, you can't be moti mamon ala sofek. The machlekes Rav and Shmuel was, can you be moti mamon if you have a rove supporting your claim? But if your claim is merely 50-50, it's heads or tails, it's your word versus my word, then everybody agrees a suffix moment. Well, hakol suffix moment, you can't be mitzi moment. So Tosis razzle dazzles up the kasha by saying Reuven's turning around to Shomron according to Shmuel. You don't have to come on to Kavua. He's just claiming she's a mere shiva. But according to Rav, to make the kasha stark, he has to claim to her, you're a suffix. You're a 50-50 suffix shivcha, and therefore I'm not going to pay you. These are the two kashas of Tosis. Wow, you got to mamish know all your day in order to appreciate Tosis kashas. According to Shmuel, they're asking me, Tom, even though there's a roiv, inochem v'amrach ha-roiv, and according to Rav, they're asking, there's not even a roiv because of kavua, kol kavua kemeftim eftim. Adkan kushas, double, 1A, 1B kushas at Tosis.
Is Reuven going to the...
Yeah, Reuven's going to her, but she's not coming to him. If she would be coming to him, she would be like the Piresh. He's going to her, so that's like Kavua. But you have to look at that, you have to like look at the person like a store. Very hard, Marshall, but that's the Marshall. Who likes these kashas? Bomb kashas, no? You guys for sure thought of these kashas when you read the Mishnah, right? I mean, you see the way Tysus learned? See, Tysus learned Ksubas like as if they're learning Yeridaya. It must have been back-to-back Shirum in those days also. Tysus look at Ksubas and they say, oh, this is a Chati Chasisa. Yeah, this is the same Sugya.
According to Shmuel, she was for sure a Kusi and she was for sure not a Shifcha. Do we still say Mitzim Chavar?
No, if we would know for a fact that she's that there's no Suffolk anymore, of course he has to pay her. Okay. It's only because there's an outside chance that maybe she's a Shifcha.
The
Shifcha part is going to kill her, right? So I can't Kusi. So we're going to focus on the second half of Tosis Kasha first. Unlike the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says the Chacham always answers the first Kasha first, we're going to be a little bit backwards. We're going to analyze Tosis second Kasha first, because Tosis second Kasha really is the Makom Patrish. This is what really destroys the whole Sugya, because Tosis made it a problem, Bein L'Shmo, Bein L'Firav. Tosis invoked the principle of Kavua in formulating a scenario and presenting the Kasha, and I have serious reservations whether this is a correct application of the principle of Kavua. I'm not questioning Tosis' first kasha. Shmuel's a good kasha. I don't know what to do with that kasha yet, but I'm not interested in that kasha. I want to zero in, focus in, right over here. Is this a correct application of Kavua? I need more information. I have to know a little bit more about the details, parameters of Kavua before I can really appreciate Tosis' presentation of a kasha. So where am I going to go to look about Kavua? What sugya am I going to possibly look? So most people would say, well, look at the seventh paragraph of Chulin, that's where the main sugyas of Kavua are. Look at the beginning of Pesachim, the wrong places to go. I'm going to go to where? To Gittin where? Samach Dalet. Everyone saw the Gemara in Gittin Samach Dalet? Everyone saw it? What? Nobody saw it? I didn't put the Gemara on it. The Rabban's in Gittin. Everyone saw the Gemara. Everyone saw the Tais in Nazir? Tais in Nazir and the Rabban. If you saw those two Bar Mekomas, then you probably put together the Gemara in Gittin. Should have at least looked up the Gemara Gittin since they both quoted. Okay. Rabbi Sai, we're leaving the plaza right now. Could use my kids for this, but they could have given me the layout a little better. Rabbi Sai, in order to appreciate this Tosis, we have to take 10 steps back and learn a whole Sugi Mesach Gittin of Daf Samach Dalet. Comes the Gemara with the following statement. Reuven appoints a shaliach, and he says to the shaliach, say the kaddish le'isha. Just go in the kaddish a girl for me. I don't care who it is. I'm desperate already. Listen, it's been too many years. I've been dating already. It's getting tired already. You decide. And whoever is good, it's good for you, it's good for me. Only shlucha, say the kaddish le'isha plenis. I'm sorry, not isha plenis. Isha stam. Umeisa shaliach. And the shaliach goes ahead on his adventure, he doesn't quite make it. He dies on the way. So we have a klal, at least according to some opinions. Chazok shliach has a shlichusay. The odds are we can assume the shliach probably did his job. So he was probably mekadesh somebody. Great, wonderful. There are 6 million women out there. I don't know which one I'm married to, but I'm married to somebody because chazok the shliach did the job. I don't know. He didn't have no emails. He didn't get a chance to text me back. I don't know. I'm not sure who he was mekadesh somebody. That's a little bit of a problem. I mean, not a terrible problem, because, you know, and I mean, a Torah, I could have more than one wife, so it's not, like, so terrible. But it is problematic. Why is it problematic? Because how can I go ahead and marry somebody? I'm going to go ahead, okay, so I don't know who this lucky lady is, but I have to go get married, so I find another wife. So I go ahead and I marry Rachel. Rachel? What right do you have to marry Rachel? Maybe Rachel is who? Maybe she's the sister of the one who the Shalich was Mekadosh. Maybe he was Mekadosh Leah. And she's Rachel. Or maybe she's the mother. Maybe she's the daughter. Maybe she's the granddaughter. How do you know? You don't know who he was Makadish. So comes along with a startling statement. What's the din? You can't marry anybody. Let me show him a quick to tone this down. What if there's a woman who doesn't have a sister, doesn't have a mother, doesn't have a girl? Then you can for sure marry her. It's not that you're awesome, mamish b'chol nashim, but for all practical purposes, you can have a lot of limitations on the shidduchim, because maybe you always have to be cheshesh, and maybe she was the one who you're marrying now, it's not the relative of the person who you're not supposed to be married. So false. And derech hadrush. So they like to say, and it says in the Haggadah, that the love and bikish lachor sakol. How did love and bikish lachor sakol? What about from love? What is the bikish lachor sakol? So the Dasharim say, because Eliezer was appointed as a shaliach to be Mekadesh, somebody for Yitzchak. So Lavan tried to kill Eliezer, right? Lavan and Basul, they tried to bump off Eliezer. So if Eliezer would have been killed, then Yitzchak would have been also b'chol nashim shebalaylam, so he wouldn't have been able to marry anybody, so it would have been the end of Klai Yisrael. So Lavan b'kish lachar sakol. It's very lom de shavor, probably not the pshuto shel statement. But anyway, get back to the story. So it comes Taisus in Maseches Nazir. In a few places Taisus has it a little bit. The reason I put it on a Nazir, it's the clearest, believe it or not, of all the Taisus, it is like the clearest. This Taisus Nazir. Usually Taisus and Nazir are hard to read, but this one really, really says it clearly. Comes Taisus and says, stop, hold the phone for a second. You're really chayshesh that there's a woman out there who is niskacha, who we don't know about? That's the chashash, because chazakash nechashash chusay. So there's this woman floating around somewhere who is an eshesish, who is unidentified. There's an unidentified eshesish out there. Comes Tyson and says, so how can any woman ever get married? Once Reuven is nuts at the shaliach to go be mekadesh and ishastam, that creates this chashash of an unidentified eshesish. So forget about this guy, forget about the Meshaleach ever marrying somebody, because maybe he's going to marry his wife's sister. How can any woman ever come to the chuppah? Maybe she was the one who was Mekabel Kedushin. So Tosfos laughs at the kasha. Why does Tosfos laugh? Because she's telling me, I'm not the one. So what do you want from me? Right? She's not the one. So she'll obviously, she comes to get married, she's saying, I'm not the one. But Tosfos, not so simple, not so fast. Why? Not so fast. What if she's a katana? What if she was a little girl at the time when this saga played out? 5 years ago, there was this unidentified Eshazish somewhere in the world. And now, 5 years later, a 13-year-old girl comes and wants to get married. How do you know? Maybe your father was in Mekabel Kedusha of you. Maybe you were the unlucky girl 5 years ago. The father's not alive anymore. How do you know? So Tosfos says, if you're going to tell me that Asa Shebechol Nashim Shebe'ayla means that there's a real bona fide chashash of Eshazish floating around in Klal Yisrael, an unidentified Eshazish, this is going to cause trouble, not just for this one shaliach, it's going to cause havoc for everybody around. Anyone who can't say for certain that they're not that ish is ish will never be able to get married. That's Taisus Kasha. It's a bomb Kasha, Taisus. So Taisus says, that Nishkin Kusha. It's not a Kasha, says Taisus. You know why it's not a Kasha, says Taisus? This din is not a real din in the first place. This is not a real chashash b'daraisa. The fact that the Meshaleach cannot marry any girl because on the outside chance maybe she's the sister of his Mekudeshes, the woman who's in the Mekudeshes to him, says to us, that's a chashash deraisa. What kind of late son is that? What kind of joke is that? What does the guy have on his side? What does the Meshaleach have on his side? What magic word? Roiv. He was Mamana Shaleach to Mekadesh one woman, not to Mekadesh 15,000 women for him. He was Mamana Shaleach to Mekadesh one woman. So there's an outside chance that any girl he wants to marry now, there's a 1 in 10,000 chance that maybe she's the sister, the mother, the grandmother, or something of the woman who's Mekadeshes to him. But it's still a Roiv. The Roiv is probably not. So Taisach Haram Mahatas. Says Taisach Midaraisa, there's nothing to worry about. The whole din is only a Chumim Midrabon anyway. And since it's only a Chumim Midrabon, why did they make this Chumim Midrabon? What was wrong? Why did they leave it on the din Deraisa? Says Taisus, because they wanted to get people out of the habit of doing these foolish things and sending a shaliach stam. It's a bad idea. You want to send a shaliach, to Mekadesh, a particular woman. Don't send him on a wild goose chase to find the first girl that he bumps into. So as a knas, in order to penalize him, in order to force a guy not to do something so foolish, they created a knas with the Rabbanim called Asa B'chadosh Shabbat Olam. They're only going to make a knas on who? On the Meshaleach, on this chassid who did something so silly. You're not going to make a knas on all the single little baby girls throughout the world that they have to be chayshish not to get married because this guy was foolish. So Tosfos took this whole Gemara Maseches Gittin of Samach Daled, this big balloon the Gemara said, Tosfos took a little needle and took all the air out of the balloon. There's nothing left of this din. It's not a din d'oraisa, it's only a chumrah d'rabbanan, and therefore the knas was only made for the man himself, not for all the other little girls. That's how Tosfos sizes up the Gemara. So comes Tosfos and turns around themselves and say, really? Is that true? In order for our teretz to be correct, we're working with the premise that it's not a problem mid'oraisa, it's only a chumrah d'rabbanan. So Tosfos now reevaluates that statement and says, why is it not a problem mid'oraisa? Why isn't it a problem mid'oraisa? Because it's rave. New Rabbi say, we should know enough already. What word undermines rove? Kavua. We know there's a girl out there who's mekudeshes. We know, we're looking at the world right now. We have 100,000 girls on the list. Guys, some guys have longer lists than others. There's 100,000 girls on the list. One of the girls on this list is an Eishes Ish. We know that for a fact. So I'm looking at 1,000 names, and one of them is an Eishes Ish. I don't know which one is an Eishes Ish. So I'm going to follow Rav, says Tosfos, Midaraisa. Again, this Tosfos speaking. Midaraisa, I can go pick any girl and marry her. She has no idea. I have no idea. Midaraisa, Kacharam, Hatasim, Hadiman, the Tsukhman, Pashas, Mishpatim. Frak Tosfos, no. That's a misapplication of Rav. Because you are what? When you're going to marry her, what are you doing? You're walking to her. You're going, well, she's coming to you. Think she's meeting you at the subway? No, you're going to her. She said, this is, come on, the Chivshua, you're going to her. This is not a modern day date over here. So you're going to her. You're going to go be together with her. You are going to a Mokav HaKviyos. We have 10,000 people, 100,000 people here. 99,999 are kosher meat. One is a piece of terefa meat. She's an Eishes Ish. How could you be matur? Hamid deraisa. It should be called kavua kemechta mechta dami. It should be a suffix deraisa l'chumra. So Tosfos' hoshtikul teira was predicated on the assumption there's no deraisa here to start with, and therefore it's just the kadas, and the kadas is only for him, not for all the girls. In fact, Tosfos themselves, it's not true. Kol kavua should kill the raiv. That's Tosfos' kasha. You see the way Tosfos thought? This is like mind boggling. Yeah.
Fine
that you can't marry anybody. Speak fine. Right? Okay? And we just limit his shidduchim. The only people who don't have mothers, sisters, or grandmothers. Okay? Tough. Very tough life. Okay? Yeah. Well, chalak stachshuk hashidduchim means that we really, really know for certain. If you deny chalak hashidduchim, there's nothing to talk about. But the Gemara is assuming that there's a real din derais, then we have a big problem. We do. We know for we could say with absolute certainty that there is an unidentified married woman. It sounds like an unidentified flying object. An unidentified married woman somewhere in Klal Yisrael. So Tosfos gets into the corner, they get into trouble with Kavua. So Tosfos is searching, they're going back to the Yerodea notes, back into the Yerodea days, the Chabur, the Smicha, and finally they come to the realization, this is Nishkin Kavua. It's Nishkin Kavua. Why is it not called Kavua? At least the rice, it's not called Kavua. Says Tosfos, this is not the same as the original Kavua. Unfortunately, we erased it a little bit too early. In the original Kavua, if you remember, what was the scenario? There was Duggies, there was Chickies, there was Mexicali at different stores, and each one I knew exactly where the Dover Mutter was. I knew exactly where the other Dover Mutter was. I knew exactly where the other Dover, I knew exactly where the Dover Osir is. Not only is the Issa Kavua Bimkoim Ezek Tosfos, what's the key words? There's a punchline here. What does Tosfos say? It's not only Kavua Bimkoim, it's Nika Bimkoim as well. I can point to the Davar Osir, and I know it's there, and not only do I know it's there, I know where it is. I have a problem. I don't remember which store I went into. That's my problem. That's the din of Kavua. That's the Xerxes cause of Kavua. But the Issa is not just Kavua Bimkoim, it's Nika Bimkoim also. It's up Tosfos. The whole parsha is the Torah of Kavua. Kavua is a chiddush at Torah. In a billion years, I never would have said it, and I still, after a billion years, I still don't understand it. But the Rebbeinu Shlom said, "Kazok to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Kavua Kamech Tzemechtam." It's a halacha, Moshe Mesina, it's a pasuk, whatever it is. I take it. I'm Amunas Chachamim. Kol Kavua Kamech Tzemechtam. It was up to Tosfos. Ain't the Chavul Chiddushai. Kavua means when the Isser is Kavua Vidikavim Kaimai. When it's not Nikavim Kaimai, there's Nishkin Kavua. So with Baruch Hashem, we could breathe a sigh of relief. Tosfos says, we can breathe a sigh of relief. Therefore, in the case of Gittin of Samach Daled, there's Nishkein Kavua. And therefore, Midaraisa, you follow Rov. The whole list was the Shaliyah and the Mishalech was only a Knas B'Alma, and they only made a Knas on the guy and not on all the other little girls around. Ad kan devir Taisis. So in order for Taisis Pshat to go, in order for their entire Mahalach in Gittin of Samadana, the whole Taisis in Nozer, is all working on the premise on the level of Deraisa, that in order to be Kavua, it's got to be Kavua plus Nikar. If it's not Nikar, then at least Mideraisa, it is not called Kavua. Taisis doesn't stop you. Taisis shows you for sure we're right. We're not just saying because we're stuck in Masechet Gittin or something like that. We need a terror, so we'll make it up a klal. Taisis says it's posher to anyone who ever opened up your Yerdeya that this klal is true. Obviously, some Hashem didn't open up your Yerdeya. But Taisis says for sure it's true. Says Taisis, how do I know for sure that it's true? Did you ever hear of a din called Bittul Berov? Did you ever hear of a din? Nachem heard it once or twice over the summer, right? Spent a lot of time talking about it. Beitza days. Gemara says you have three pieces of meat on the table. Two of them you know for sure are kosher, and one of them you know for sure is treif. Okay? Who's in the shiur? What kind of salamis are there? What are they? Come on. What kind of meat is it? Two. Oh, gosh, it's before your days. Two Rabashkins and one, this is in the old days. We used to always give those examples. Two, what's in, what are they calling that? Aaron's? No, what are they calling that? I don't know what they call it. What? I'm not sure what we're calling it. Two meal marts. Okay, well, two meal marts and one boar's head. Anyone know what boar's head is? What is that really, really trade for? Kishmai Kenu, boar's head, okay? That's like you can't get more trace than boar's head. Every once in a while you see a boar's head truck go by. I get so excited. It's causing me the whole sugi. So you have three pieces of salami on the table. Two of them are kosher. One of them is trafe. You shouldn't be eating any of the way because they're all poisonous for your bad for your heart, cholesterol, but all right, it's still fine. So you have two kosher salamis, one trafe salami. All the labels are off. What's the din? The Gemara says, chad betrei botel. Midaraisa for sure, according to most Rishonim, is midarabonon. Chad betrei botel, you're permitted to eat them. It's botel, you're allowed to eat them. How do you know? Achiram mahatas. It's botel beroif. So comes Taisa and says, what? You know, well, it's not starting yet. I have three salamis on the table. Two of them are kosher, one strafe. I'm going to walk over to the table and take one of the salamis away and start eating the salami. The salami's not coming to me. I'm going to the salami. How could I go to take that salami? Typically, it's called the kavua. That's not roiv. That's kavua. You see from here that kavua is not relevant here. You know why? Because it's kavua b'mkayim, but it's not nika b'mkayim. That's what the clue is. If it's nika b'mkayim, if it says on a boar's head, I can't eat it because it's not a latest asofik anymore. I know that it's a trait with salami. Every bitl b'rayv, licked in every bitl b'rayv, is the fact that it's not nika. That's the very definition of ta'rayvus. Those who are living your day with us will hear that term from us, hopefully many times of the year. The very definition, the very prerequisite of a ta'rayvus, is that it's not nika. If it's nika, it's nishkin ta'rayvus. Tyson says it's a davar poshut ad me'od that kavua is defined as kavua plus nikar, and therefore bitul b'rayv doesn't violate the klal of kavua, and therefore gittin samach dal is not a correct application of kavua. It's only a chumah midirabanan, and there's nothing to do. Ad kan davar Tyson. Rabbi say, in light of that Tyson maseches Nozir, you should realize right away that somebody on our page in Ksubas Chav Tes disagrees with that Tyson, namely at Tyson over here. At Taizen Ksubas for sure disagrees with the Taizen Maseches Nozer. Why? Go back to Taizen's formulation of Kavua. Taizen's cool, the Ruvain being Ma'ane Shamrona, a scenario of Kavua. Because Taizen felt compelled to ask the double Kasha. Nobody asked Taizen to ask the second Kasha. Taizen could have asked the Kasha going to Shmuel, we could have had a great shiur today. But Taizen says no. Taisus asked the Kasha, even according to Rav, which forces us now to define Kavua properly, which is pushes off hopefully our great shield tomorrow. Hopefully all the shirim are great. We hope we try. But comes Taisus and says that according to Rav, it's a 50-50 because of Kavua. So let's chaz it for a second. Reuven's walking into Kusi town. Okay, Reuven's taking a bus from Shalayim, going to Shomron, going to Shechem. Okay? He walks into Shechem and he walks into Shomrona's house. Shomrona's sitting in her house. Nebuchadnezzar is honest. So now, having a din Torah, a week later, trying to figure out whether Reuven has to pay or not. So Shomrona turns around and says, you owe me 50 shkalim. And Reuven says, no, you're a 50-50 shivcha, because kol kavua kamech tamech tadami. How does he know? How does he know she may be a shifcha? Because he says, I learned Kedushin, the fourth paragraph. It says, for sure there's a shifcha floating around in your town. The Kusim, there are shvachas floating around this town. True, there are 10,000 wonderful girls with the perfect, beautiful lineage of Kusim, according to the Mad Yomagari MSM, okay? So we have 99% of the Kusim have lineage that is sufficient to be Mechaiva Kenas for, but there are a few of them floating around that don't. So Shruven has the chutzpah to say, maybe you're one of those who doesn't have the good yichus. You're a 50-50% shivcha. Aha! What should be Shemrona's next line in the Din Torah? She says, I may be kavua, but I ain't what? I ain't nikar. There's nobody nikar. Go show me the nikar. We don't know who the shvachas are. We know there's a shivcha in here. We know. We got a tradition. We got shvachas in here. But we don't know which one is the shivcha. So according to Taisa's formulation, Maseches Nazir, who has the upper hand in this Din Torah? Shemrona knows your day better than Reuven knows your day. Okay? Because Taisa says this is not called kavua. So obviously Taisa and Ksubas Chavtas is disagreeing with the Balei Taisa Maseches. Again, not the first, not the last. Machlokes in Balei Taisa. That doesn't bother us. But we have a problem, Rabbi Sai. According to Taisa and Ksubas Chavtas, now, before we could solve the onus problem, we have to go back to what forced Taisa into this. He said in the first place, Taisa didn't just stop make this up. They didn't even need. They had two stark arayas. They had a whole sugya in Maseches Gittin of Samach Dala, and then they had a backup sugya from Bittul Barov of Tarai. Because Taisa had two very, very solid proofs. Gittin Samach Dalet pushed them into this direction, and the whole institution of Bittul Barov pushed them into this direction. Now when you read Taisa and Ksubas, Chavtas, and you come to the realization that Taisa disagrees with the Taisa of Nazir, so you got to go back to the drawing board and figure out, well, Taisus, if you want to knock out the Nikar story, you have to do a lot of work explaining away these two riots. So that's really what's the next stage in the sugya. In terms of, again, we're learning Taisus Ksubas Chavtas, but we came to a realization that Taisus Ksubas Chavtas has to deal with certain issues in Kavua in order to defend the presentation of their question. Everyone with it so far? So we have to go back to these two Gemaras, these two Dinim that forced Taisus' hands to create the Nikar and see why not so far. Comes the Ramban in Maseches Gittin and disagrees with Taisus B'tchila V'yatzoif in terms of Taisus' formulation of the sugya, presentation of the sugya in Gittin Nefsamach Dalet. What got the ball rolling according to Taisus? What was the bomb kasha according to Taisus and Nefsamach Dalet? They got them starting staying shit with Taisus and Kavua. What was the bomb kasha? No, who remembers? Who's with us? That if you really truly believe there's an unidentified married girl out here, every little girl should always be asked to get married because maybe she's the one, the unlucky one whose father was the Kabbalah Kedushah. That was the kasha, right? That was the kasha of Tarsus. The Ramban says, Kusha may correlate, so that's a kasha. I'm not going to lose this to go over the kasha. Tarsus is not honest. The Ramban is not honest. A girl comes at the ripe old age of 13 and she presents herself to get married. So we look her straight in the face and we say to her, no, I'm not so sure that we can let you get married. Why? Maybe you're an Ashes Ish. Does that make any sense? Maybe you're an Ashes Ish? What do we do in Halacha when we have sfeikas about people? We have sfeikas about objects. We have sfeikas about statuses. What's the famous rule? Famous rule, you say this, what? Chazoka what? Chazoka meikara. You follow the status quo. Whatever the status quo was, if you used to be mutter, you remain mutter to proven osir. If you used to be tar, you remain tar to proven osir. Whatever your status was last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago, remains b'chol tokvo until we have reason to believe that it has changed. That's the klal gadol called chazak meikara. Who knows the famous Gemara Maseches Chulin, the first parak? Mina hamilsa the amr rabbanim zilbas the chazaka. The Gemara quotes a pasuk gzeres akosov that you follow chazaka. There's no question about chazaka. Everybody subscribes to chazaka. All the old timers in the shir. Where am I about to go? Who's going to point me where I'm going now? All the old timers. What? I'm at the wall at the famous corner, right? Yes, you remember? Remember this corner? Who was around in Yavamas days? Who was around above Abashra days? You got a new crop of guys. Okay, Abayisai. Welcome to, this is the famous Chazaka Bekar corner, and I'll tell you why. Okay, I have some sheer history why. This is the Chazaka Bekar corner. Comes the Gemara in Maseches Chul in the first parak. Oh gosh, you remember this corner? Oh, we've been around for a couple of years. It's been a while. Okay. Comes the Gemara in the first parak. We need Ashi. Where's Ashi? Come to Ashi. Sis is getting married today. That's a good excuse. Okay, fine. All right. So, comes to Gemara in the first bracha chulin and says, "How do you know you follow chazaka? Everyone follows chazaka. What's my next kasha? What do I always ask the guys to prove you follow chazaka? Who here put on tefillin this morning?" Now, when we give shiur at 1 o'clock, I never have any qualms asking that question. I give shiur at 11:45, I'm always nervous. Who here put on tefillin today? Everybody. Okay, I'm not lavavish. I'm not trying to get you to put on tefillin. Just want to know. Who here checked their tefillin and opened up their parashas this morning just to make sure they're kosher? One. You did? You said chill. How do you know it's from a kosher? Who told you they're kosher? Maybe some of the leather scratched out. What's the answer? They were kosher yesterday. How do you know they were kosher yesterday? They were kosher the day before. How do you know they were kosher the day before? Because 5 years ago, you had a sofer check your tefillin. He tells you they were kosher. You have no reason to believe anything's changed. So you follow the chazak. We always follow chazak. Where does the Torah say you can follow chazak? Maybe it's a sofer. So the Gemara says the following. Comes a kohen, he gets a call from somebody. You won't believe this. The guy calls the kohen and says, "Listen, you got to come take a look at my house. I got these green dots all over my wall of my house. I may have nigei batim. Maybe the first time ever in the history of the world is a nega teras." Okay, Gemara says it never happened, but we still need the pasha. If not, we wouldn't have anything to talk about today. So the kohen comes, spatzes over to the house, takes a look, and he sees gevalt geshrigen. It's a green dot. He starts to measure it. He takes out his pennies and goes through the size of a grizzly. Also, he measures it and shows, by golly, it's about tummy. He's about to say the magic words tummy, and then he realizes, don't say it yet. You know why? Why? That's the first clear everything out. If he says tummy, then everything becomes tummy, right? So he clears everything out. Now, he also wants to make sure that he's what? He's not there in there either. Because it also becomes a viyotza koyim a bias, right? So he goes out of the bias. He walks out, closes the door, locks up, walks away, and he turns around and he says, Tomei, or Ton Hezger, whatever it is, whatever Psachi gives. So the Gemara's the kasha. What's the kasha in the Gemara? How do you know it's still the same size that it was? If it's a little bit less than the size of a gris, Allah will see it's got to be the size of a bean or something. If it's more than a gris, it's not Tomei. How does he know? Just because he measured it 5 minutes ago, maybe it shrunk. How does he know? What, he's Skyping onto the house? How does he know? How does he know the size? What's the answer? Because 5 minutes ago it was a certain size, and he has no reason to believe that the chazak has changed. You see, v'kan shatar samchatar lechazakas. I could have read Parshas Nigei Batim for a million times and never ever seen this. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh, I'm not from Chazal. We just try our best, but you have to really, really, really read into Parshas Mitzvah really, really deep, and you'll see it's this din. That's why we will go to this corner. Nigei Batim, on the corner right here. Kenega near leave a bias right here. There's a kenega on the bias. That's the source that you didn't check your tefillin today. If you really understand halacha properly, you'll see that kol tera kula is one chativ. It's one unit. You have to look at huchas digi batim for shilas and huchas tefillin. That's the way you have to learn properly.
It will be a chaskas iser though. It wouldn't be a mean to make something tamei or aser. Why? If it's halacha from sinai, so you can more necessarily.
No, it's halacha from sinai. The Gemara says that it's learned out from this tefillin.
So you can look at what hadar also.
Yeah. So comes the Rabban and says, "I don't understand Tezis Kasher. Chilas Kushasim is a pillar. A little girl, she's 14 years old now, and we want to know, can she get married?" And someone starts to be ma'or on her status and say, "Well, maybe she's an Eishes Ish. There's a chance." And I say, "When she was born, was she an Eishes Ish? You're not born, you're born as a Penuya. So when you're a day old, you're a Penuya. When you're a week old, you're a Penuya. When you're a month old, you're a Penuya. When you're 10 years old, you're a Penuya. You're 12 years old, you're a Penuya. You're 13 years old, you're a Penuya. Now we have a suffix, we don't know. Blood Chazaka, Shtel of Chazaka. Rely on the chazaka. What's the big deal? She has the cheskes out there. What's the shayla? She has the cheskes out there. What's the whole kasha? Tais is nishkin kasha. She has the cheskes out there. What's tais during a sakop with kavua, with sveikas, with maisa? She has the cheskes out there. So comes the Ramban and says, he turns the kasha around on himself. He says, really? You follow cheskes out there? So then why is it a problem for the mishalech in the first place? Why can't the Mishalech marry this girl? After all, he comes to marry, he's about to marry this girl, and we say to him, no, you can't marry this girl. You know why? Maybe this is the sister of your wife. Right? Maybe Rachel is the sister of Leah, and maybe you're really married to Leah. So why don't we follow Cheskes Heter? What's the answer, says Rabban? It's a Lom de Shavart. It's a Lom de Shavart. He stands, Reuven standing next to Rachel, about to put a ring on her finger, and the Beis Din says, no, don't, you cannot marry her, because there's a suffix, she's Achas Ishtai. Why can't she turn around? I'm Achas Ishtai. I wasn't Achas Ishtai last year, and I wasn't Achas Ishtai when I was born, so why don't I have Chazaka also? What's the difference, everybody? Say, no, give me a Lomdus. Chazaka is Lomdus. What's the problem with this Chazaka? What's the problem with the chazocha, Rabbi Isai? Where's the latest asofik? The latest asofik is not really on Rachel. Where's the latest asofik? Was there a kedushin to Leah? Rachel is a result of a latest asofik on Leah. We're being down on Rachel, but not really being down on Rachel. We're being down on Leah. What's the problem? So good, let's rely on the chazocha of Leah. What's the problem, Rabbi Isai? Where's Leah? She's not here. And in Hilchas Chazokas, Chazokah means when you're being down on something lefaneinu, there's a clown of Chazokas, you're being down on something lefaneinu. If you could say, this item, A, has been mutter, now latest asafik, it blips mutter. But if the latest asafik is on A, and A is not even here, we're not even discussing it, we don't even know where Leah lives, we're being down on Rachel, you can't rely on Leah's chazoka to be matir rocha. You get the wrong clue. You're crossing over party lines. That's not how chazoka works. So you have to. You can only apply chazoka when the item that you're being down on is lefaneinu. So comes the Ramban and says the reason why the Masechta is getting some chazaka, you can't marry any girl, but every girl can get married. Not because it's a knas de rabbanan, like Taisa says, because it's not really kavua, it's not really a suffix, the whole thing is a chumim de rabbanan. No, the Ramban says, these are dinim de raisa playing out. These are club, this is sheh shmaitza, this is like the ultimate sheh shmaitza playing out, says the Ramban. These are dinim de raisa playing out. In one case, you have a chazakah, in another place, you don't have a chazakah. In one place, the suffix is lefaneinu, in the other place, the suffix is not lefaneinu. Says the Ramban, gittin sabach dalet is a real problem de raisa. When Reuben wants to marry Rachel, we say to him, you cannot marry Rachel because she's a real Suffolk Achazishtai. The real McCoy, Midderaisa, she's a Suffolk Achazishtai. Really? But isn't there a Rov? How can the Ramban say it's a Suffolk Deraisa? Isn't there a Rov? What's the answer? What's the answer, Baisai? Isn't there a Rov? What's the answer? What is there? What's undermining Rov? What word? What magic word? What bad word is undermining Rov? Kavua. Aye, but it's not Nikavim Kaimai. What's the answer? What does the Ramban hold? You don't need Nikavim Kaimai. The Ramban never heard of Nikavim Kaimai. The Ramban holds like who? Which Taisis? Choftesim Ralph and Ksubis. So Taisim Ksubis, we jump to Taisim Ksubis. Taisim Ksubis invokes Kavua, and we say, what are you drains a couple of Kavua? Don't you remember what you wrote in Nazir? So Taisim Ksubis says, I don't know. Nazir? I never wrote in Nazir. We hold the Ramban and Gittin Tafsamach Dalet. We hold the Kavu applies Bein Benikah Bein Shena Nikah. You're bringing me a Raya from Gittin Tafsamach Dalet. Well, Hoyu Dvar Me'ayilam. The Gemara Gittin Tafsamach Dalet is based on a totally different principle. It's based on a principle of that Chazak of the work for that which is Bolafaneinu. So when all the dust settles, we have two radically different approaches in the Gedalia Rishayim to the principle of Kavua. Is there a need? Is there a necessity for Nikah in order to plug in the rule of Kavua? Well, the Hoyu Dvar Me'ayilam, there is no such a principle. According to Taisus in Nazir, it's an absolute principle, and that's the only way to explain by Gittin Samach Dalet. We just found another way to explain Gittin Samach Dalet. The Ramban's Mahalach Gittin Samach Dalet. The whole Taisus is not correct. And according to the Ramban, there is no such klal of Nikar, and therefore Taisus is free to ask the cash. So we solved half the problems. We have not yet negated Taisus' second Raya. But hopefully that's from tomorrow. We have to go back to Taisus' second Raya. This sounds like a really, really ironclad, really shtaka Raya. What would the Ramban say about that Raya? Once we figure out what the Ramban says about that Raya, we'll be able to understand why Tosfos was not bound to Tosfos Maseches Nazir. We will appreciate the Kasha of Tosfos so much better. I think it was two shiurim almost just to figure out the Kasha of Tosfos. And then we got to do some work on the answer. Got at least equal time to the answer to Tosfos. This is a long sugya. A lot of details in the sugya. Just to understand every word. You read the Tosfos Ksubas Chavtes, every single word. You have to look at the sugya of Knas in light of sugyas of Yerdeya and the light of sugyas of Maseches Nazir. This is how the Rishonim read Gemara. They didn't just look at one half a line here and call it a day. They looked at analyzed every single line, every single Mishnah, every single Gemara, every single Diuk in a Gemara in light of Kol HaTerakula. So from Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll try to continue along these lines. We decided to wash here at 12, right? Is that the Maskara? Okay.